So today's Torah portion, Vayera, he appeared. And let us take our Bibles, our scriptures, and again, our digital Bibles or our old-fashioned Bibles, but let us take these Bibles with us. And because today we'll go through many places of the scriptures. So today's Torah reading, in my opinion, is one of the most messianic chapters. I can call it good news from Abraham. I like to call it, or let's say gospel from Abraham. We have gospel from Moses, if you remember that. Now it is gospel from Abraham. Through the example of Abraham and Lot, today's Torah chapter shows us what should be our top priority in life and what happens if we do not have the proper foundation of faith in our life. So, and from the reading of this chapter, we can find that Abraham's main priority was the Lord and His will, always, everywhere. He was a stranger in this world. Even when it was not beneficial for Abraham or to Abraham, he always tried to choose the side of God, always. Of course, like you and me, Abraham was not perfect. Was he? I heard some opinion that probably he would be discommunicated from some of the churches for what happened in his life. But he was a righteous man. And you know, the righteous, even if he's fall, he's always will stand up and go forward. He was not perfect, and he made many mistakes that cost him dearly. Many mistakes. So let us remember the story of Abraham. And we have 3 hours of the service, so we can go there. So the Lord called Abraham out of his home to become a stranger in the land of Canaan. What a calling. Would you like to have such a calling? Elizabeth, wake up and let's go. I don't know where you will go, but you need to go. I don't know for how long, but please go. And go immediately. So he became a stranger in the land of Canaan, and the main calling his was to build an altar, a place of worship to God. It was one of his main callings, to build a place of worship through all the land of Canaan. And his nephew Lot went with him. And I think, it's my opinion, that it was very important for Abraham that someone from his own family was ready to support his calling. That's my opinion. To share all the hardships of the path and serve God together with Abraham. I think Abraham was delighted that his nephew was also striving to follow and serve the Lord. Can you imagine a blessing to have such a relative, such support as a Lot, so they can go together and serve the Lord and build an altar through the land of Canaan. So, and thus they served many years in tandem with the Lord. And we know this story, Genesis chapter 13. Let us open Genesis chapter 13. When they left Egypt, Abraham and Lot were very rich people. Genesis chapter 13. Verse 6. So that the land could not support them living together because their possessions were many and they were not able to stay together. Verse 7. So there was a quarrel between the shepherds of Abraham's livestock and the shepherds of Lot's livestock. So when you can read deeply and read the story farther, you will find that it's my opinion. I think something happened in the Lot's heart. It's my opinion. Most likely, he was finished with the life of being a stranger in the unknown land, the life of a servant of God. Probably he tired from it. We see that he allowed his shepherds to quarrel with Abraham's shepherds. It was in his authority to stop this quarrel. And he left Abraham and settled in a godless and corrupt city, Sodom. Somebody told me it's like Los Angeles, but I don't think so. It was more difficult there in Sodom. And even after God spared Lot from the destruction of Sodom later on, still, he did not reunite with Abraham. Instead, he went in an opposite direction from Abraham. After the destruction of Sodom, he went into opposite direction from Abraham. Also, we see that Abraham acted as a great man of God. He showed terrific humility, allowed himself to be humiliated in the eyes of people, and did not fight with his nephew. Abraham left Lot to choose the best land, any place for habitation and pasture. Let us read 13 verse 8 through verse 12. Genesis 13, 8 through 12. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between me and you, or between my shepherds and yours, since we are relatives. Isn't the whole land before you? Please separate yourself from me. If you to the left, then I'll go to the right. And if you to the right, then I'll go to the left." Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the whole area surrounding the Jordan was well watered and its entirety before Adonai destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like Adonai's garden, like the land of Egypt, till you come to Zoar. And verse 11, the key verse. So Lot chose for himself the whole area surrounding the Jordan. Lot journeyed to the east, and they separated from each other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the valley. And he moved his tent from place to place near Sodom. Although Abraham had every right to humiliate Lot because he was the elder in the family, and Lot joined his calling and followed him. But we see that Abraham valued the calling of God above all, everything. At the same time, Lot began to put his trust in his wealth and his flocks. He went to the best place, to the richest cities. So, and they split up. Lot settled in Sodom. And if you know the history, at that time, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were at the intersection of trade roads. And they were very rich, very prosperous cities at that moment. So if someone was looking for fame, fortune, and to move among beautiful people, you know, the special beautiful people, Sodom is where you would like to go. It was the place of rich, prosperous, but at the same time, very sinful place. Abraham chose God's will and continued to wander from place to place, building altars and serving God. That was the difference between them. In my opinion, I think about it. It was not easy for Abraham to see how his relative, who served with him for many years, decided to live the life of a minister, departed from his calling, and devoted himself only to seek a life of comfort and excess. So the Lot decided to go to the evil land. I believe that Abraham saw that Lot was spiritually blind and intended living God's will, which would lead to dire consequences for him. And if you read all the Torah chapter, you can find the consequences. But he, Abraham, could not longer help Lot because Lot was hardened by sin and began to take wrong and unreasonable steps. He chose to settle in the most depraved place on earth, in Sodom. So let us read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through verse 14. Hebrews 3, verse 12 through verse 14. And this is to us. This is our time, the last days. Matthew chapter 24. This is our time. So Hebrews 3, verse 12 through verse 14. So Beth Israel, take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you has an evil heart of unbelief that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day by day as long as it is called today. We have today. Praise the Lord, we have today. Praise the Lord, we have today. We can be together. But encourage one another day by day as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partners of Messiah if we hold our original conviction firm until the end. What a wonderful message to us. It is so important. In order to receive the promised blessing, there is one crucial condition. If we hold our original conviction firm until the end. Let's say together, until the end. I don't want to ask another question. Whose end? Until the end. Because the Lord is faithful. Now it is our part to be faithful to Him. Amen. Later we can read the sad story of Lot, a righteous man, a man of God, a minister who traded his calling for a false hope of wealth and success. And Genesis chapter 13, again, verse 13, very simple, very important word here. Genesis 13:13. So, when Lot decided to go to Sodom, it is said here, but the people of Sodom were evil, very great sinners against Adonai. So here's the Lord, the righteous man. He decided to go to Sodom, even though he completely knew that it was the evil place with the people who were great sinners against the Lord. I think it was blind decision, not wise decision for him. So let's look at what happened next in the lives of Abraham and Lot. So first, let's take a look at Abraham. And here's the story. It really deeply touched my heart, this week's Torah portion. It helped me to be more focused on what the Lord wants me to do. So after such a difficult parting and conflict, and immediately after losing a relative and co-worker in the Lord, immediately after such a difficult time, I don't think it was an easy break with Lot. So he lost his friend, his relative, his co-worker in the Lord. Abraham, immediately after that, he built an altar in Hebron. The next step he did, he built an altar. And I think this was the place where he laid his own will on the altar. He decided to serve the Lord no matter what. Do you remember the words of Joshua ben Nun? I'm not sure about you, but I'm and my family. Four people probably read this place of Scripture. But I and my family, we will surely serve the Lord. And it's easy to say when everything's fine in your life. But when it's a difficult time, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And this is an example. Abraham, immediately after he lost his relative, he split with him. It was a difficult time. Immediately, first thing he did, he built an altar to the Lord. I believe when Abraham was building this place of worship, he experienced a lot of heavy feelings and spiritual attacks because he was a man. He was a spiritual man, but he was a man. Maybe he asked himself, what am I doing? Possible. Perhaps Lot was right. Maybe I'm doing something wrong, and it is time to stop. And you remember that Abraham still did not have a son at that time. Nothing. Nothing good happened. It would seem that nothing good has come to Abraham, and even his partner in the ministry left him. No son, no city, promised city from the Lord. His relative, he's leaving him. So, whole world against him. What's going on here, Lord? But Abraham built an altar no matter what. And now let's notice what kind of altar was built and where it was built. It is so important to notice. When I read it, it really touched my heart so deeply, really deeply. Let us read Genesis 13, verse 18. This is the key verse for today. Genesis 13, verse 18. So, here's the, right after the split, right after the such a difficult feelings, Abraham moved his tent and came to live by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. There he built an altar to Adonai. So let us remember, by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. Very specific place. Very interesting place. Very important place. At that moment, when Abraham built an altar, he could not even imagine or comprehend that much later, much, much later, in chapter 18, it's many years later, in chapter 18, he will meet the Lord at this very place and receive the promise of the birth of a son at the very place, at the altar, at the oaks of Mamre. At that moment, he had no idea. He built an altar of tears, but it became the altar of joy for him. Wow. Please remember about that, people of God. Serve the Lord, specifically when it's difficult for you, when it costs you something. This is the moment then you need to build the altar for the Lord. So, how interesting that when we choose to serve God, we are preparing the place of our blessing and the blessings of our children and our family. And who knows what surprises from the Lord await you when you faithfully serve Him and follow Him, especially in difficult times. Who knows? Only the Lord knows. In chapter 13, Abraham had no idea about future coming of Messiah. And can you imagine what would happen if he would not build this altar? The story would be rewritten. So let's read a passage from today's Torah chapter. I call this chapter the good news from Abraham. Genesis 18, verse 1, and we'll read through verse 22, but we'll pick the verses from here. So, Genesis verse 18. Chapter 18, I'm sorry. So, do remember that place, Oaks of Mamre. Here it is. Adonai appeared to Abraham by the Oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance to the tent during the heat of the day. Here it is. The same place, place of tears. Now the Lord came to Abraham. He raised his eyes and looked, and there in front of him stood three men. On seeing them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, prostrated himself on the ground, and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, please don't leave your servant." What a great place. So, there are two famous commentaries on these verses. I want to make it short, so I don't want to go there, and I don't want to explain everything deeply and unroll all these commentators, but just shortly. Some Bible commentators claim that Abraham saw three strangers, walking by and ran and bowed down to them to the ground because it was an ancient custom. I mean, I'm making short, but the idea. So it was a custom to bow down and worship to men who were walking in this land. The second commentary claimed that angels came to Abraham and therefore he worshipped angels. Three men was angels, so that he worshipped them. Of course, I make it short, so it is funny for us, but I make it short specifically. Of course, we understand that this is not true at all. We will not find anywhere in the Bible that the Lord encouraged worship of people. Never. Or that someone addressing a person called him the Lord. In my Bible, I couldn't find it. We see in Scripture that even the angels forbade people to worship them. And Revelation 19:10, one of the most obvious places of the Scriptures. Revelation 19:10. I mean, I just want to read it to us so we will have no questions here. So here's the John, Yohanan. Then I fell down at his feet, at the feet of angel, and worshipped him. But he, angel, said to me, see that you do not do that. Stop doing that. John, stop doing that. For I am only a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters. Do not worship me. It is not, angels won't receive worship from men, from people, because they all worship only to the Lord, to God. All glory belongs to Him. Therefore, the idea that Abraham fell on his face and worshipped people or angels, and even more so called them Adonai, the Lord, is not biblical and wrong. This is not the Bible. So let's reread this passage from the Torah, verse by verse, relying only on the text without all these explanations. So, Genesis 18, the first verse. Then Adonai appeared to him. In the original text, Vayera Elav Yahweh. I am who I am, appeared to him. Not a man, not an angel, not a stranger. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Let's say together, the Lord, the Lord. Verse 3. So here's the Abraham's response. Vayomer Adonai, then he said, my Lord. In the third verse, Abraham, referring to one of the three strangers, calls him Adonai, the Lord. And let's read verse 8 now. So then he took butter and milk and the young ox that he had prepared and set it before them while he was standing by them under the tree they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? There in the tent, he said. Then he said, I will most surely return to you in about a year's time, surprisingly. And again, verse 10, then he said. It was three people there, three men or three strangers, and one of them, he. Then he said, I will most surely return to you in about a year's time, surprisingly. Surprisingly, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Surprisingly. What a surprise. Would it be a surprise for Abraham or not? What do you think? I think Abraham should do something, yeah, to have a son. Yeah. Okay. Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. How old was Abraham? Do you remember? 99. Wow, young man. How old was Sarah? Do you remember? Okay, I will let you to find it. I won't answer you. I know, but I won't answer you. Please read the scriptures. So, now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. Sarah had stopped having the way of women. So Sarah laughed to herself. So she was old enough to laugh to herself. Saying, after I've grown decrepit, can I have desire? I'm too old, I don't have any desire anymore. And my Lord, so old. It is even more funny, you know, my 99-year-old. What is son? What are you talking about? I mean, to simplify, we're not husband and wife anymore. We live together. So, then Adonai, and again, verse 13. Let us open verse 13. Then Adonai, and in original again, Yahweh, said to Abraham, why it is that Sarah laughed, saying, can I really give birth when I'm so old? And verse 14, verse of faith. Is anything too difficult for Adonai? At the appointed time, I will return to you in about a year, and Sarah will have a son. Verse 22. Then the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham was still standing before Adonai. And you know this story. Chapter 19, verse 1. In other words, two angels left. They came to Sodom. And Abraham remained in front of the third one, which is called the Lord in the Torah. We know because Genesis 19:1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. So three of them left, two went to Sodom. And yeah, thank you. Even Siri says yes. Genesis 18:25. And here is, if you have any question, who was talking to Abraham, here's the answer for us. Genesis 18:25. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to cause the righteous to die with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked share the same fate. Far be it from you, shall the judge of the whole world not exercise justice? So I have a question. Who is the judge of all the earth? Only the Lord, in my opinion. A person or even an angel cannot be the judge of the world. It's impossible. And finally, an exciting end to this chapter, Genesis 18, verse 33. Now when he had finished speaking to Abraham, Adonai, and again the same, the Lord, I am who I am, left. And Abraham returned to his place. Such a place of scripture. Good news from Abraham. So the Lord himself came to Abraham, ate in his house, gave the word to Sarah that she would have a son, renewed their bodies so she could give birth. It was a miracle. And the last part, it's so important part, specifically for ladies. And made Sarah so beautiful that Abimelech, the king of Gerar in the next chapters, wanted to marry her. Such a great encounter. I mean, really, for Sarah, this was the place of joy. I think so. Yeah. So ladies, think about ministry to the Lord. Think about it. So, why do you think Abraham recognized the Lord and ran to meet him and worship him? And it is a good question. I ask myself, how Abraham was able to see the Lord And again, some explanation that he was the prophet, he can see the Lord, he ran because he was a prophet. But I think everything was much more simpler, I think, in my opinion. In the last chapter from the Torah, we read about last week about it. You remember it was said about Melchizedek, and who he was and how Abraham received a blessing from Melchizedek, king of Salem, and gave him tithes of everything. Do you remember Melchizedek? We talked about him last week. So Melchizedek in Hebrew is king of righteousness. And Salem in Hebrew, shalom, king of shalom. And remember Isaiah chapter 9. I just want to read it. Isaiah 9:5. Messianic place of the scriptures. Isaiah 9:5. For to us a child is born. Let us say together, child. When you think about child, we think about baby, yeah? Small baby. A son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. What a child. Mighty God, my Father of eternity, Prince of Shalom. This is the name of Messiah, Prince of Shalom. And here's the Melchizedek, King of Shalom, Prince of Shalom, came to Abraham. This is the name of Messiah, his title. So the King of Righteousness, King of Shalom, came to Abraham for the first time and blessed Abraham. And now he came for the second time. And of course, Abraham recognized him and ran to him because he knew who Messiah was. He recognized him. So this is why he went straight to him. He worshipped him. He bowed down before him. He prayed to him. He asked everything. The Lord, Adonai, bless us. Adonai, keep them. It is so simple. Why? Because Abraham was the friend of God. And friends have very close relationships and fellowship. So someone might ask me how Abraham could see God, who is the Spirit and who dwells in the heavens of heaven? And the answer, very simple, is in book of John, chapter 1, verse 18. It is the answer, who came to Abraham. No one has ever seen God. You can't see Father, He is the Spirit. But the only and unique Son who is identical with God and is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. Yeshua, the Messiah, He came identical with God. I love this place of Scripture. Abraham met face to face with Yeshua from the Torah, whom the Torah calls Adonai. We see the divine nature of the Messiah, and we are messianic believers. And if you are here, you need to know that messianic believers believe that Yeshua is the Lord. He's not just a rabbi, but he's a rabbi, but he's not just a rabbi. He's a great teacher, but he's not a just great teacher. He is an angel of the Lord, according to the scriptures, but he's not only the angel of the Lord. He's the Lord who came to save us, to redeem us. And now the most interesting part. Yeshua himself tells us about his meeting with Abraham. Yeshua. He tells us about his meeting with Abraham. Let us open John chapter 8, and I prove you this is here. It's in scriptures. John 8, verse 56 through 59. It is an amazing confirmation. 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. I have a question. What day? When it was? When Abraham saw the day of Yeshua's coming. Abraham died much earlier, before Yeshua was born in this world. What happened here? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was thrilled, full of joy. He rejoiced so much. Verse 57, the question here. Then the Judeans said to him, You are not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. The normal question. Yeshua answered, and this answer is actually one of the most important answers. If you will ask when Yeshua said that he is the Lord, here it is. Yeshua answered, Amen, amen, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. Let us say together, I am. And verse 59, the normal response from unbeliever people who full of hatred. Then they picked up stones to throw at him. Good conversation, yeah? Very short. I found that when somebody couldn't be right, yeah, the easiest way, take stone and throw it stone. But Yeshua hid himself and went out from the temple. So I have a few questions here. When did Abraham see Yeshua and rejoice? In the chapter 18th of the book of Genesis. We just read about this. Yeshua came to Abraham. The second question, why did Abraham rejoice? Why? Because, first of all, he met the Messiah again. And the second one, from the fact that he will have a son. And do you remember the name of his son? Okay, who read the scriptures? Isaac. Let's say together, Isaac. Itzhak in Hebrew means joy. He was thrilled to receive this joyful news about his son, whose name actually Joy. This is what Yeshua speaks about here. And the last question, the most important. Why did the crowd want to stone Yeshua? Answer very easy. Because they understood his message. And because they knew Genesis chapter 18. So when he told them, guys, it was me who came to Abraham, and they told me the Lord. He called me the Lord in the book of Genesis chapter 18. And they knew about it for sure. And also because he called himself I Am, as Abraham called him. You remember the first time you found this name, Exodus 3. God answered Moses, I am who I am. Then he said, you are to say to Bnei Israel, I am, has sent me to you. And here's Yeshua standing there. He said, before Abraham was born, I am. I am. Imagine the Lord Yeshua speaking to the crowd around him, says to them, before Abraham was born, I am. Abraham saw me, and I am the Lord who came to him and gave him Isaac. And the last part, most exciting. You all stand here because I was there. Because of me, you are here. And their argument was very quick and easy. They took stones to kill him because they understood him completely. Completely. And now, in the end, let's take a very brief look at Lot's life. I don't want to go deeply there, but just briefly. It seemed to him that when he left Abraham and his ministry, his life would improve and he would become successful. It was his agenda. But Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. I just want to read it. It's also very important for us to remember. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. It's easy to be deceived. Really easy. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also shall reap. For the one who sows in the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows in the Ruach will reap from the Ruach, from the Spirit, eternal life. Do not be deceived. It's easy to be deceived. So Lot thought, okay, I'm done with this. I'm done. It's too hard. Look what's going on around us right now in America. It is too hard to serve the Lord. So much difficulties. I mean, let us do something real. It is not profitable for me to serve the Lord. But people of God, we need to keep serving the Lord. Look at Lot's life. Look at Abraham's life. What a difference. And Lot's wealth and flocks were destroyed with Sodom. Do you remember in Peter, it says there, he prayed in his soul, righteous soul. He asked the Lord for deliverance. And the Lord delivered him. But what was the price of his deliverance? He lost everything. Because why? You know why? Because he put his trust in these things. And when the Lord answered him, it was very harsh, difficult answer. Completely opposite from Lot's expectation. Probably Lot thought, okay, Lord bless me, deliver me, and I want to have all the richness with me. I will be the richest one because you will deliver me. But the Lord delivered him and two of his daughters. Even his wife, who left Sodom to save her life, decided to turn back and died, turning into a pillar of salt. Thank you, Cantor Aaron, for mentioning it. It's so important to remember, to keep faith until the end. In old age, Lot's two daughters became pregnant by him, having given birth to two sons, Ammon, and Moab, from whom the Ammonites and Moabites, the enemies of Israel, later descended. What a sad story of the man of God, whom the Bible calls righteous. He was a righteous man who left the calling of the Lord, decided to put his trust in his richness. And what an excellent path Abraham had. Despite the difficult trials, he built an altar to God, and many years later met the Messiah at this very same place and received what he had been waiting for, the Son. Such a great story here. So I would like to pray. I would like to pray for all of us here, and specifically if you are going through the same temptation as Abraham did. Lord, nothing changed. It is so hard, so difficult. Where are you, Lord? What am I doing? Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Please do not be deceived. If you are serving the Lord, you are doing everything right. And this world doing everything wrong. It is opposite. I would like to pray for us. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I come to you in the name of Yeshua. And Lord, I thank you for all of them, for every one of them, Lord, who are here, who are right now, who are online, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who are serving you, who is serving you with all their hearts, all his heart, Lord. Lord, I ask, bless your people, Lord. Bless your people with your faithfulness. Let us be strong, Lord. Let us keep our hope and our faith. Let us be like Abraham was. Help us, Lord, to build places of worship in our lives anywhere, Lord. Everywhere, Lord, where we're going. Thank you so much for your protection, Lord. Thank you for your mercies, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your love to us, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I would like to invite my wife, Ina, to come up here. And let us stand together. And please think about the life of Abraham. It is a great example for all of us. Let us pray. In the end, I want to remind you, if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. Let us pray. Yivrecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his
peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.